I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and with me as ever is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you?
Hello, David. And regular listeners may be able to tell from our voices that we sound more mature.
That's right. Big news here at Film Fandango headquarters. Marek and I are both the oldest we've ever been.
Yep. We both have our birthdays within 6 days of each other, so normally there's you're here around May and June.
Yeah.
The change in the maybe change deepening in of the voice, the increased weariness.
Our internal ancient clocks tick one place further forward. You know, around my birthday, all of the Hammer Horror guys had their birthday, so around yours as well.
I think Peter Cushing's on June the 2nd. I think it's Peter Cushing's on the June the 1st.
No, Peter Cushing is mine, May 26th.
Oh, shut up then.
You've probably got Vincent Price or something.
Let's look at Vincent Price.
And Christopher Lee had his the same, and around that time.
Well, let's see. Vincent Price, May 27th. Well done, you. Christopher Lee.
Who's the best person who shares your birthday? The best film star?
Marquis de Sade.
Marquis de Sade? Blimey. I've just got Lenny Kravitz.
Christopher Lee is May 26th. You're right. None of them on my birthday. June the 2nd, birthdays. You can hear my computer tapping in the background. That's how prepared we are. Famous birthdays. I don't even know. Sergio Aguero, football player.
Yeah, famous actor Sergio Aguero.
Charlie Watts, the drummer.
Yeah.
Justin Long, he was the bloke from Jeepers Creepers Who Loses His Eyes.
I mean, that is some heavy hitters you've got there in the world of cinema.
Zachary Quinto,
he's quite big. He's Spock, isn't he?
Wentworth Miller,
writer of Stoker and star of Prison Break.
Yeah, Dominic Cooper. He's the annoying one.
Yeah, I do not like him. I don't understand his career. Sorry, Dominic. I'm sure you're lovely. I don't get it.
And Tim Rice Oxley, from the pianist from Keane, is born on the very same day in the same year. There's a top 50 people on famous birthdays.
Well,
I haven't made it in.
Mine are Helena Bonham Carter, John Wayne, I believe, Peter Cushing, Lenny Kravitz, as I've already said,
yeah,
and When I'm Cleaning Windows, what's
George Formby.
George Formby.
So that is quite incredible, because that is a really, you think over the history of time, there would have been some better people born in my day. So, I mean, the upshot is that I'm never going to amount to anything.
Maybe 9 months before your birthday is not a glamorous and sexy time to do it.
It's September. I was 2 weeks late, so... was something must have been September 1975.
Okay, September.
2 weeks. I mean, this is really boring. For let's say it's September the 18th.
Sure.
What horrific thing happened on September the 18th? Because it's normally something bad, isn't it, that happens?
That forces people together to have children. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Everyone's conceived because of a horrific world event. I've not heard this rule.
September doesn't really say. Okay, I mean, this is really boring.
Sure.
I'm trying to find out who died on September the 18th, and maybe I am the reincarnation of that person.
Interesting.
Alright, well, let's talk about films instead, shall we?
Sure. You still have to find that by the end of the podcast.
I'm going to be... I've just put died in Google now.
Died? I just want to look up death. Images, please. Image search.
This
animated
week,
GIFs of people dying. This week, we're going to talk about something a little different. Don't worry, it's still films. Marek and I have both seen some musicals this week, haven't we?
Well, the reason was, I went back to the Isle of Wight for a little break to see my nan, and it's very difficult trying to, and because she lives alone now, and I thought it's nice to sit down and watch a film. She doesn't do much. So I was scrolling through the internet, trying to find that film that doesn't have any sex in it.
Yeah.
She's 93 years old, doesn't have swearing, doesn't like swearing.
Oh, she's surely experienced sex
she's
by
never
now.
Had, she's never, she's still a virgin.
Right, okay.
And I was trying to find that film you can watch with grandparents.
Yes.
So I came across Sunshine Over Leith, the musical.
Based upon the music of
the Proclaimers.
Proclaimers. Okay, yeah. I saw the Proclaimers live. I've probably told this story already, but I was at a festival and I was totally ashamed to be English that day because about four songs into their set, they played I Will Walk 500 Miles and it was stonking. It was great. And then the tent emptied because everyone got, oh, I've heard their song now.
Really?
Literally everyone piled out of the tent apart from like eight of us.
They've done two or three big songs, and the others aren't. I mean, they're really good.
They're brilliant, I think.
Yeah, so on the, and after this, I also watched Pitch Perfect 2, which we'll talk about, and you're going to talk about another musical.
Well,
as well.
I took a very rare occasion for me, an international flight.
Just to watch the films?
Just to watch the films on there, because I get tired of watching them on an adequately sized screen.
So
and
how
sound
much does that
system.
Work? Is that about £200 or £300 a film?
Well, it was to Boston, so East Coast America, so it's about 6.5 hours. So I got to see comfortably three films.
And how much was a flight ticket?
It was about £500.
And did you watch three films on the way back as well?
I didn't, actually. I didn't on the way back. So, because it was through the night on the way back, so I had a bit of a sleep.
£165 a film.
That's right. I only managed to watch one film on the way back, but three on the way there.
Obviously, so it's four in total.
Four in total. So it's just over £100 a film.
£150 a film,
yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, £120 maybe.
£123 a film.
Which is a little more than you pay for a cinema ticket in London at the moment, but not much, Marek.
If you're getting popcorn.
That's right.
It's getting very close.
It gets about there. Yeah, I watched Into the Woods, which was one of the films on their hard drive I had not yet seen.
Well, let's talk about Into the Woods. This is the one with Meryl Streep's in it, isn't it?
Meryl Streep plays a lovely witch.
James Corden's in it.
James Corden plays a baker who's inexplicably married to Emily Blunt.
Right, so it's
got one of these ensemble all-star casts. So Chris Pine plays the prince in it as well.
It's Red Riding Hood, right? Or is it just all?
Well, it's a Stephen Sondheim musical. It was a big award-winning musical on Broadway, and it takes all of the Grimm's fairy tales, the famous ones. So Little Red Riding Hood's in there, Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella, all of them, and combines them into all happening in the same kingdom, overlapping in the same time, and tells the stories pretty much as you know them to be. But the midpoint, which in the stage show is the interval, is happily ever after. And the second half is what happens after. What are the more sort of human, real results of what they've all done.
That sounds it. If I had known that, I might have watched
it. The story's good. The story is good fun.
Is it original music or is it all mashups?
No, it's Stephen Sondheim, who is a composer, so it's all his music. Now, his music is very specifically, he's got his own style. No, in fact, sort of not. It's almost academic.
How can you do non-gay musicals?
Well, this is the thing. It's still sort of camp, but if you don't know Sondheim, he's got this sort of style where you can't, it's very hard to sing the songs afterwards because it's got a very repeating rhyme thing. And
so I've got no interest in musicals.
Okay,
you find out, so.
He did, I think, Wicked's one of his.
Oh, okay.
I think, I might be completely wrong. I'm not very good at musicals either. West Side Story.
Oh, see, I mean, that's a
Sweeney Todd.
West Side Story is from what I remember, it's very good.
Yeah. Maybe Wicked isn't here. Maybe I'm completely up the spout on that one.
Is it Stephen PH or Stephen V?
It's Stephen PH.
Yeah. If you were in music, you would be a Stephen PH, I think.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, Stephen PH is more academic, because the other Stevens, where it's normally Steve.
Yeah. No, I'm completely wrong on Wicked. But he did do Sweeney Todd, the one that, I don't know if you saw it with Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter in it. Again, it was a stage show first. But yeah, Gypsy West Side Story, Sweeney Todd. Anyway, but he's got this sort of style of just like, I'm doing a thing, repeating it now, rhyming it there, and then the refrain, and it's just like, it's a bit tiresome. Some people worship Sondheim, and I find like, oh God, this is getting a bit boring now. But I tell you what, the best scene in the whole thing is Chris Pine and this other guy who I don't know, some young actor, playing the two Prince Charmings trying to out how romantically tragic they are on a waterfall, and it's actually very funny. Chris Pine is a very funny guy. I've said it before in Horrible Bosses 2, he completely excels the part as it's written on the page, and he does so in this as well. Emily Blunt is as charming as ever. I love her. And Meryl Streep's great. And, you know, everyone's very good. James Corden doesn't quite work. He's not likeable enough, or real enough, actually. He plays a guy...
In real life?
Well, I've not met him. But in this, he's... I don't know, he's just sort of playing bumbling comedy man, and he's actually the lead role. And he's not bringing the chops for it, I don't think. But... And it's one of those that has an annoying voiceover to tell you what's going on all the time.
This is just for music. Did it make a lot of money? Because I can't understand. It got nominated for Oscars, didn't it?
I'm sure Meryl Streep got...
She got nominated for Best.
Did she win for playing a sexy witch? No, she didn't. But she was nominated for playing a musical singing witch. And Johnny Depp's in it as well, again, as the Big Bad Wolf.
Yes, it was the nominated Best Actress, and it was also nominated for Best Costume Design and Best Production Design.
Production
so
design,
not Best Musical, not or Best, not best, not Best Soundtrack.
Is not Best Soundtrack. No, I mean it's odd. I'm loath to slag off any film that I've only seen on an aeroplane. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, I actually was on different carriers going to the States and back again, and on the way there, the one where I watched more films, I was on Virgin Atlantic, and their screens are total bollocks. You may as well be watching a small YouTube video the entire time, and when the person in front of you tips their seat back,
oh,
as
God,
they're allowed to.
Did they do that or not?
Yeah, they did. But you then can't see the black of the screen. You know, like on old monitors on laptops,
yeah.
Where if it's at an angle, the black sort of goes into a sort of shimmering silver.
Did you have to tip your seat back?
No, I that didn't help. I tried to slump in my chair, but I couldn't stay like that for 6 hours. Like, so I had to watch. So I ended up watching 3 films, including Whiplash, which has a lot of dark in it.
I was going to say, it's good to watch any black and white films.
No, I mean, it's got...
What is going on,
well,
David?
Exactly, it would have been white and silver, which is not a genre. It was terrible. But then on the way back, I flew Delta, and their screens were brilliant. They were bright, they were bigger, they were shiny, they were lovely. And I watched Into the Woods on that one, so that was fine.
Oh, okay.
It's a fun film. I don't know if I'd watch it again. There's something missing in it. It doesn't... It feels a bit like the stage show is doing most of the heavy lifting here, and the film itself isn't bringing much to the table.
I do not understand musical films.
Okay.
I do not see...
There's some brilliant ones.
Like what?
Hedwig, we've talked about before, and the Angry...
Hedwig was all right.
Cabaret is fantastic.
Little Shop of Horrors, I think, is a good version.
Little Shop is great. Blues Brothers, I think, is a wonderful film.
But a lot of them...
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I suppose there are a few. But some of them, when the music seems to be the focal point of it, it's got to be story first.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose
the music's got to come at the right time. And this is the thing. I mean, I
just don't like it.
I was in an improvised musical show for a while.
Oh, get lost, mate.
I know. But you sort of have to study the structures of these things and when they work and when they don't. And the basic rule we had there was your character breaks into song when something feels too intense to describe in words. And if it's too intense for song, they then dance. That's the rule of just sort of energy, if you know what I mean.
My balls are really aching. Oh, my balls are really... And I start dancing.
You don't start dancing because it's too much.
Yeah. Do you do that in your voice? Do you do that?
That's why I eventually was thrown out for singing like that.
So in musicals, when people's voices go... That's when...
They
start dancing.
Their balls explode into leg movement.
Well, not balls. I've used balls as an example. But if you were singing,
yeah,
and then when they start dancing, you hear their voices going, and that's when they start dancing.
That's right, yeah.
That is the rule to musicals.
Yeah. Well, no, but what I was trying to say from this is that when they've crowbarred in a jukebox musical style pop song, just so... to have an excuse for them to sing that song, it often doesn't work because it's not the right emotional beat in the story. If just suddenly they all break out into singing about a car wash because they happen to be at a car wash, is it at the car wash or whatever? It's like, why do they care so much about the car wash? There's no reason for them to. And that is often the mistake these things make. I wouldn't levy that at Into the Woods or Sondheim stuff, but... it is some of the lesser musicals are guilty of it, I think.
I think that personally, all opinions is all subjective, isn't it, at the end of the day? But I think I've been subjected to so much singing on television.
What, and with the sort of Glee and then everything trying to copy
it? Well, not just that. You've got Glee, you've got X Factor, not I watch it, but you've got things like The Voice, you've got Britain's Got Talent, you've got sing. It's... You can't turn on the television without some prick singing something. They're always singing.
Yeah.
There's always someone singing a song. I'm sick of people singing. I don't want to watch people sing anymore. I like to listen. I can listen to people singing, but there's no, for visually, I don't see the point of it.
I don't know if you were ever a fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You look like the kind of man who would be.
No, I wasn't. And A, I wasn't. And B... answer the second bit.
Yeah,
I look like the man who would be.
No,
many Buffy fans are the weirdos who go to comics and literally. I imagine a Buffy fan as a horrible, sweaty old man.
No, I don't think that's right. It's mostly girls in their 50s who still do their hair like Willow. 50s, 30s. What am I talking about? But the reason I bring it up is that Joss Whedon is a very good writer and he actually understands musical. I think another writer who understands it in other contexts is Trey Parker from South Park. Those guys write good musicals. The Book of Mormon is fantastic.
The Book of Mormon is one of the best things I've ever seen.
The songs in South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut, is a brilliant musical. And Joss Whedon, similarly, when he did the musical episode of Buffy, which is now a thing that all shows do... And, you know, they have that one episode where they sing everything, and they're usually dreck. But his worked because they used that episode, not as a gimmick, but to be the episode when all of the characters' secrets are finally revealed to one another. And that...
My balls are really aching.
What if it hadn't just come on you now, but you'd been hiding it from your friends for so long, and finally you just had to sing about it. That is...
I mean, it wouldn't be a secret. It would be if I was a girl and I had balls.
Well, it could be a secret. It depends on the writing, isn't it?
Comes down to that.
You could have got your job as president on the promise that you don't have itchy balls.
I didn't say itchy, I said achy.
Oh, achy, okay. What's achy balls? Who has achy balls?
It's just when you... Once I got hit when I was playing football. Kids were playing football at my school with a tennis ball. And I was having to walk past, and someone kicked this ball. It was a really hard shot, and hit me right in the... It was an incredible curling shot. I wasn't even in the football game. I was sort of walking.
You appreciate the shot, though. I mean,
and it got me in the balls. You know when you... And this is horrible for people to listen to. You, as you get older, you don't often get hit in the balls as much. When you're a kid, you know, you've got brothers, you get kicked in the balls and stuff like that.
I hear it happens a lot more once you have kids of your own. You get headbutted in the testicles quite a lot then. But...
And there's a horrible ache when you get hit in the... There's nothing quite like that sickness.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And well, that would be worth singing about.
And I got hit in the balls with a tennis ball. And I remember just almost collapsing in... I couldn't... Just a whole new world of pain.
Yeah.
And for the whole day, they ached.
I'm sorry.
And I've not... And I put that down as one of the reasons why I've not had any children. And probably will never be able to have children.
Have you tried to have children?
No, but...
Well, that's probably the bigger reason, isn't it?
I think it's something to do with that kid and that tennis ball.
Okay, well, you should go after him and demand some children off him. He owes you kids.
I always think about that. If you did one small thing you never really thought about has drastically affected someone's life.
Yeah, yeah. So I once, in a cricket game at school, bowled a ball full toss right into a young boy's balls.
Was he playing? Was he just...
He was playing. He was at the crease. You know, he was batting. And he was wearing a box. But even so, just having the box just impact into your...
Yeah,
your
if you've got it on proper, haven't got it on the right way.
Yeah, I felt quite guilty about that. I mean, he had to be out anyway because he couldn't carry on.
Even Buddy's angry in the background about that.
He's angry,
that.
Aren't you? You're angry about the ball.
He's growling because he's had his balls removed, hasn't he?
He has, yes. He can't contribute in this conversation.
I'm sorry, Buddy. I mean, this must be distressing for you.
Distressing. And he can't break into song either, to get back on topic.
Because he's had his balls removed.
But no, because he's a dog. Yeah, they can't sing. But going back to your musicals, you're not a big fan. There are some good ones, and we've found some more that you do actually like along the way. But
it's become a strange thing, because I suppose...
Oversaturation, is that what the problem is?
Yeah, well, we think music videos, everyone goes MTV was the first music video... Yeah, really, it was musicals. Wizard of Oz, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
West Side Story.
Yeah.
They're almost like great music, you know, the fighting scene where they've got... they're the first music videos.
Yes.
And I think it's sort of changed now where we're used to watching music videos and as a way of telling stories, and a lot more work goes into a three-minute music video.
Well, they famously have a higher shot rate than any other medium, so yeah. The number of setups you have to do to film 3 seconds is enormous.
I can see why you would go along. I think musicals that you see live, or they do a thing at the Prince Charles, like the sing-along Sound of Music.
Yeah.
And that would be a great thing to go to, where you know the story and you all sing the songs together. But going to the equivalent of a geeky person... going to, you know, cinema lover, going to a sports match where you can
never go to a film for the first time at one of those sing-alongs. I would imagine have to know that's the most intolerable thing on earth.
Yeah, you have to know the film and not actually care.
They do sing along a Frozen now at the Prince Charles. That's entered into legendary status now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, it's huge. You know, it's the most successful animation of all time.
Yeah, my niece showed me her Frozen watch.
Oh dear, did you fix it?
No, it's really stuck to it. I tried to take it off and it ripped all the skin off her arm.
Oh no. it's like a proper joke.
How many Into the Woods, Davies, do you give Into the Woods?
Six. Six Davids. It's fine. You know, it's fine. It's not my favourite musical. I sort of enjoyed the story. It's dragging its heels in some regards.
IMDb is at 6.1. So there you go. Are exactly on the same wavelength
slightly more negative. 0.1 more negative than the world.
Just below, which is quite good. So you're in your early 30s,
yeah,
and you've only got a bit of... You're only 0.1 below.
But I'm on my way there. That's what you're saying.
I mean, that 0.1 is going to...
It's going to blossom in the next 10 years.
You're going to be dropping whole points.
What musical have you seen that prompted this conversation?
Well, it was Sunshine Over Leaf. So it's the Proclaimers songs, and they've only done, I think, really 3 or 4 great songs. And it's directed by Dexter Fletcher, who I think he's done a really good job.
He's got an interesting career, hasn't he, Dexter Fletcher? Starts out as Babyface in Bugsy Malone.
Yeah.
Then he's in Press Gang, you know. Then has a bit of a resurgence with Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
Then sort of, because of that, becomes slightly cool but not very in a Hollywood sense, and crops up in things all over the place doing American accents. Now plays dads. So he plays D'Artagnan's dad in The Three Musketeers monstrosity. and is now directing stuff as well.
We did Wild Bill. I haven't seen Wild Bill. I've heard really good things about that. But it's Sanjay Belief. It's just, I think he's done a good job making something. I watched it with my nan, and she thought it was, and she laughed because it was rubbish. And she said, there's no real story to it. It just feels like there's.
Are they doing what I described? They're trying to crowbar Proclaimers songs into the story.
It doesn't feel like there's enough content. It's got good actors in it. It's got Jane Horrocks. It's got Peter Mullen, who's really good.
Oh, I love Peter Mullen.
George McKay, who's in the young looking bloke, who's also in Pride. The acting, you know, but it's just too many. It feels like a Proclaimers album with intermittent story.
But this is exactly
there's too much song and the story's not interesting enough or dramatic enough, and they try to fit the story to the song.
Yes, and that doesn't work. It doesn't. It's a song never going to be as satisfying.
You can't sort of go, oh, I'm going to fit the story to I Walk 500 Miles as the final plot point. You sort of know what's going to happen. It doesn't really work.
Yeah,
and it's half song and dance numbers. I just think that there's no real substance. My nan said to me, there's no story here. It's just them singing songs in between.
Well, this is my problem with jukebox musicals. I mean, why South Park works so well as a movie is because every song is beat perfect for what is happening in the story. Jukebox musicals is...
Excuse me.
I think I'm probably using it wrong, actually. I think jukebox musicals technically is lots of different pop songs from different artists. So Moulin Rouge is a jukebox musical.
So this is like an album musical, or best of album musical.
But it's a retrofit, isn't it? Like We Will Rock You.
Well, that's what it felt like. I think it was based on the musical. So We Will Rock You came out. The Proclaimers thought, oh, we can make a load of money doing
Mamma
this musical.
Mia was the one that started all this bullshit, because it was the most successful one doing ABBA songs. And
so that's the thing, and then it goes into the film, so they can make money out of it. I just thought it was just boring. I just thought it was boring.
Right.
My nan thought it was boring.
Everyone, so you failed in picking a nan film.
On the cover, it looks like it's really good. It had lots of 4-star reviews. There are lots of writing with reputable newspapers underneath the writing.
Yeah,
but it turned out they were all lies.
Oh no.
So it was a really safe film, a really safe film. I should have got something a lot more racy.
What would you retrospectively have picked to watch with your nan?
Bum Time on Leaf. It's actually called Sunshine on Leaf, not Over Leaf. I've got that
Sunshine on Leaf. Well, it's the name of one of their songs, isn't it?
Bum Time Under Leaf.
Under Leaf.
Under Leaf, yeah.
There was an American high school theatre troupe who came to the Edinburgh Festival once and did a production of Trainspotting.
Wow.
And pronounced it life for the whole thing in Edinburgh, which is quite ballsy, I think.
I would have gone to see that.
Yeah, it does sound good. Plays of films rarely work. Although I've heard there's a very good production of Alien around the place that Tom Bell told me about. He says it's his favourite thing he's ever seen in his life. It's an Amdram production of Alien for the stage.
Wow. Well, that brings us to our... We were talking about bad films before.
Yes.
And that brings us neatly to a letter from Ben Grubb. Do you want to read it?
What's Ben Grubb's accent?
He's talking about The Room, which I've heard, which is a quite famous bad film. And you've seen The Room yet?
Yes, I have. Yeah, yeah. I went to the Prince Charles quote along of The Room,
Which is supposed to be the worst film in history. Yeah. I've seen all the clips of it, and he wants you to read it out in the voice of Tommy Wiseau, who's
Wiseau.
He's actually put a clip there for examples for you.
I saw it years ago. I'll try and remember what the Tommy Wiseau sounds like. He's a very odd man. Dear David, Myrick and Buddy, I have just been listening to your latest podcast where you discussed Troll 2 and Best Worst Movie. After you posted the question about what other films fit the Best Worst Movie Ever Made category, I couldn't help but write in to suggest The Room. I'm pretty sure you mentioned it before on the podcast in passing, but I think it deserves a further discussion. The Room has to be one of the most surreal and fun cinema experiences I've ever had. I urge you, if you get the chance, to go and see it at the Prince Charles Cinema. You haven't seen The Room properly until you've seen it in a cinema whilst having hundreds of plastic spoons rain down on your head. The film itself, it's a weird mess of clunky, terrible acting and equally terrible nonsensical dialogue, gratuitously overlong and uncomfortable sex scene, or more accurately, one sex scene shown twice, and a wealth of bizarre set pieces and unresolved storylines. I've been fascinated with the film for a good 5 or 6 years now, but it wasn't until I read main actor and line producer, no less, Greg Sestero's book, The Disaster Artist, definitely worth a read too, that I'd really got an insight into just how surreal the whole process of making the film was. Tommy Wiseau, the man responsible for more or less every aspect of the film, seems to lurch between being an untalented but well-meaning guy with a dream of being in a Hollywood film and a straight-up lunatic. I'd really love to hear your thoughts on it. I'm sure I'm not the only person to write in with this suggestion, but you can't have the conversation of best-worst film without The Room being involved. Keep watching the films. Cheers, Ben, in Crouch End.
I've probably seen him around.
You probably have done. Yes, The Room. Thank you, Ben.
Ben Grubb.
I've seen The Room. I've seen it in the Prince Charles Cinema, in fact, and it is a wonderful, wonderful experience. It is hysterical. It's would make a good double bill with American Movie, in fact, because it's, you can see writ large the total dream to be a movie star and to write your own thing and for it to be amazing, and the total failure to achieve even the most basic cutting or, you know, shooting of anything, writing, acting, it's all wrong. And you could never make a mockumentary as funny as the real thing.
It's true, because it's all true, yeah.
Is it
about someone holding American football and throwing it for no reason, isn't it? It's quite odd.
Oh, everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. And the sex scene is ridiculous because they do use the same shots again for him having sex with the same woman another time. You basically get the whole scene again.
The budget said it was $6 million, estimated budget.
No, can't be
that much.
Can't be.
But he must have made his money back out of that by now because he's an international
phenomenon. It's made him. It's made, and he'll get, public appearances money for all over the world now. It's a...
And all the screening money as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you want to do, make a rubbish film.
It's constantly on at the Prince Charles. It's never off.
Really?
Pretty much. It's on, every couple of months or whatever. No, it's a phenomenal piece of work. If you haven't seen it, it's brilliant. And yes, everyone brings plastic spoons to throw because for some reason all of the artwork in his flat, even the art direction is terrible, but is just framed pictures of spoons that I'm sure he had some sort of incredibly deep artistic reason for doing, but it does not come across why. And so whenever you see a spoon in frame, people throw spoons.
Wow. Well, go and check that out. I'm sure you can get it online as well.
Yeah.
I should watch the whole thing. I've seen those clips of it, but, you know, I should really watch it.
You really should.
So we talk about that. I went to see another film.
Yes.
And that, where sort of, it's more of a, it is the jukebox musical, I suppose.
Okay.
But it's Pitch Perfect 2. I've seen Pitch Perfect.
Yes.
I've seen Pitch Perfect 2. Pitch Perfect.
This is Rebel Wilson.
It's Rebel Wilson.
Not Rainn Wilson.
No, Rebel Wilson who, and Anna Kendrick, who's a...
Anna Kendrick plays Cinderella in Into the Woods.
Oh, really?
There you go.
So this is continuing the following story of the Barden Bells, who are this a cappella group from college, as they enter the World Championships after something goes wrong at the start and they do a bad performance and sully their name.
Oh, no.
Well, the problem is that this isn't... I don't know why I watched Pitch Perfect 1, the first one anyway. I don't even know why I watched Pitch Perfect 2.
What's the first one like? What did you think of the first one?
I thought I was pleasantly surprised by it, because I thought it was... It's sort of a sassy... it's that typical college... modern college of sort of how Greece has evolved into this thing. The modern college sort of girls film of them just in a group, sort of like the cool theatre lot, but they are musical theatre, so you can never get away from the fact that they are always going to be assholes.
Okay, sure.
But this is just the second one, you know. it's a sports movie structure. You know, something goes wrong. You know, the whole structure. They're entering the World Championships to try and save their name.
Yeah.
They've got to get together and do a song and work together on it. It's just an excuse for them to sing, do sort of rap music battles with other people.
Yeah.
And sing songs. It's got jokes in it, which you might find funny if you're a nice person and not cynical as me. Problem is, I'm 39 years old. This is aimed at... If you're a 14 to 16 year old American girl,
yeah,
who likes singing and doing something with your friend and a cappella and dancing, you would shit yourself at that film. I'm guessing that a lot of our listeners,
yeah,
aren't American girls between...
I mean, no, I mean, you're 2.5 American girls now.
I am 2.5, yeah. I'm more than that. I'm approaching, 2.5 American girls.
You're 2.5 American girls.
I could just about be 3 young...
You're nearly 3 young girls.
I'm 39.
Yeah.
3 young girls.
3 young girls.
I'm going to say that, introduce that as my name now.
Hello, I'm Merrick. 3 young girls.
How old are you? 3 young girls.
That's one of the creepiest things you could say. I mean, I don't know why someone who doesn't know you is asking how old you are, but...
Yeah.
Okay, so I've not seen these. I've sort of... The whole... I feel like it's sort of the legacy of Glee, really. Because Glee was a massive thing and then everyone's sort of cashed in on it a bit. And not to say that the things that came after it weren't well-intentioned and well-made, but I didn't go to see Pitch Perfect for this very reason. I just, it's not really my thing.
All right, they're good at singing. I'm sick of people who are good at singing. There's a lot... as we've talked about before, the talent contest.
Yeah.
A lot of people are good at singing.
Yeah.
Might be on TV. I reckon 1 in 3 people is good at singing.
I mean, even people, you're not expecting to be good at singing can occasionally good at singing.
20 Feet from Stardom was a good, interesting
documentary
on these brilliant singers and how it actually takes a lot more than that to sustain a career. And it's not necessarily... That was a really interesting documentary. This is like quite... You know what's going to happen. Everyone's got these... the characters, which are just moulds of characters you've seen before, you know, just stereotypes. You know, like a quiet Japanese girl, a bolshy sort of black girl, a really sort of preppy sort of girl. You know, you've
and
got,
who's Rebel Wilson? What's her
character? Rebel Wilson is this Australian sort of fat, called Fat Amy, who does all the sort of fat things.
Does she fall down? Does she
that
fall down
sort of
a lot?
Stuff, you know. It's just, but it's not my thing.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in it. I don't even know why I'm talking about it.
Sure.
But I have got one point there.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
And I'm in no position to say this, being sort of not a normal looking person, but she gives me the creeps. I find her, and I'm sorry if she's listening, in everything I see her, she looks like the devil. She's totally charmless. I'm sure I'm the sort of person that people go, I see it married loud, I want to puke up, it gives me the creeps. Anna Kendrick, I cannot watch her, she leaves me totally cold. I can't understand it. How does she ever get big? But her face is like this really... I find her totally...
She's harsh, jealous. Isn't she? She's... I know what you mean. She's slightly charming in Into the Woods, but...
I think she's totally...
Which is the only thing I've seen her in, I think. But she wasn't... She wasn't, you know, the audience is in, which is what a Cinderella figure is supposed to be.
A lot of things I've seen her in, and
She's
I've
creepy.
Never really warmed her at all. So what I'm saying is that she should be killed.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to kill Anna Kendrick for us, then get in touch, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com.
I'm not going to rate Sunshine and Leaf or Pitch Perfect 2 because I think I'm totally the wrong audience.
Okay. So how many wrong Three audiences would you give it?
3 and 4.
3 and 4 wrong audiences. Okay. Well, yes. Well, I won't watch it then. I won't watch it. I like a musical. I like a good musical. I'm not for this. As I say, sticking in songs because they're popular songs, and it all sort. This is a sad song, and we're sad at the moment. And this is. It's not enough. It needs to be about.
We should have really sung this
whole thing.
Yeah. But David.
I mean, that was a cue for a song right there, and you missed it.
I'm about to
go into
it.
Going into it,
David. I've heard you've done a few new logos on our Redbubble page. And that's about as good as some of the musicals I watch.
Wow. I mean, that, I mean, you made Pitch Perfect 2 sound a lot better than that.
If you've done redesign.
Yeah, we've got some new T-shirts available and stuff. I mean, Redbubble really have thrown shit at a wall in terms of what you can get now. I mean, you can now up available on our Redbubble page. So it's something like redbubble.com/people/filmfandango. But if you Google Redbubble Film Fandango, you'll find it. You can get our new logo on T-shirts and hoodies and all sorts of stuff. And also, I guess, what is our catchphrase? Keep watching the films. But it's now available on mugs and leggings. You can get Film Fandango leggings now. That's crazy for me. Bags, bedspreads. You know, you can sleep in our in us. You know, you can sleep right in us, right there.
Well,
yes, if you'd like to get any merchandise, then go to redbubble.com, and a tiny, tiny sliver of a percentage of that money will find its way to us to help us run the podcast eventually. But if you'd actually like to keep the podcast going, then go to filmfandango.co.uk and just donate money from there.
£1, just £1.
£1 or £100. And everyone who has donated £100, and there's a few of you, then thank you very much. Thank you very much for doing that.
Not a few.
No, there's no one. No one's done that.
Maybe one person has done it collectively. One generous person.
Altogether, probably. Yeah. Maybe.
But anyway.
What?
That's it.
Oh, right. We're ending on the vulgar point of money discussion.
Yeah, it is a vulgar podcast.
Okay, well, we should probably sing to end. End on a song, as they say.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.